Hello, I'm Nick Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. I want to thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast today. You know, Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. And through this weekly broadcast, Cross Church is able to share a time of praise and worship, as well as a time of studying God's Word with people from all walks of life. I want to thank you today again for tuning in, and please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our four regional campuses. Come be a part of our friendly, compassionate family known as Cross Church. So if you would, go to crosschurch.com to learn more about our church, and we hope that you'll join us very soon. Happy Easter, everybody. If you are a normal attender or member of our church, we are glad that you have joined us again. If this is your very first time to ever tune in to Cross Church, we are so excited that you are with us. You know, all over the world, there are millions of people who are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what I want to just start out by saying is this: if you've never understood how the resurrection of Jesus can change your life, we're praying that that would happen even today as I speak. This is a weird Easter. Can we just kind of get that on out there? You are in your sweats or, you know, shorts and a t-shirt, or maybe you even dressed up in your Easter best, you know? But this is just a different kind of day. And 2020 is just a different kind of year. And we will never forget this year, although already in April, most of us believe and wish that we could forget it all together just because of all that we've walked through as a country. Everybody in this world can relate with one statement. Here's what that statement is. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. There is something innate within us that is just a desire for satisfaction. There's a longing that is desperate to be filled. And we have this longing that just says, man, I just want to be happy. You hear about it when people make major career decisions. I just want to be happy. You hear it even in a broken marriage that is headed towards divorce, and somebody says, I just want to be happy. You hear it even in our parenting when we talk about our children. We say, I just want my kids to be happy. Even as we face this worldwide pandemic and the coronavirus and all that's going on right now, many of us are longing for things to go back to the way they were just a few weeks ago. And yet the problem with that is this. You think that you were happy back then, but the reality is you weren't happy then. And when things do go back to normal, you won't be happy then without a genuine change of life. And could it be that God is stripping us of all the things that we think bring us happiness, but really don't, so that on a day like today, he could bring you real, genuine joy and happiness for the very first time? Have you ever wondered, well, what is that within us? Like, what is it within me that is a longing to be fulfilled? Why do I have such a desire to be happy? And why do I have a thirst that just seems to never be quenched? Well, today we're going to begin a brand new series that explains that. And we're going to look at the book of John. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and begin turning to John chapter 11 with me. And if you're a committed follower of Jesus, we believe this can be an encouraging series to your life, a life-changing kind of situation. If you've never met Christ personally, we believe that today could be an astounding turning point in your life. That literally your life can change today. It could be a start of a new life. You may be wondering, you know, here we're on Easter, you may be wondering, well, Nick, what does the resurrection of Jesus have to do with my own happiness? As we look at John 11, I want to explain to you that the series that we're entering into today is called I Just Want to Be Happy. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take four people with four different stories, all out of the Gospel of John, where people were really looking for some sense of happiness. And every single time, Jesus points them on the path to real happiness. And you know what that is? Every single time, he points them ultimately to himself. You know, there are a lot of things in your life that you think are making you happy, but the reality is they're not. And what Jesus wants to say to you today is that he is the only one who can ultimately reach that satisfaction and make you happy in your life. If you're a note taker today, I want to encourage you. I'm going to say a statement now, and I'm going to say it throughout the message today. And here's what that statement is. Only Jesus can bring about a resurrection. Do you believe that in your life? Only Jesus can bring about a resurrection. Now, there are many of you watching out there today who you need a resurrection. You don't know it yet, but by the end of this message, hopefully, you will come to grips with the fact that you need a spiritual resurrection in your own life. What we're going to talk about today is one of the greatest stories about Jesus with one of his friends, and this friend's name was Lazarus. The passage begins in John chapter 11. Lazarus is sick. I'll go ahead and like spoil the plot here. Lazarus is about to die, and in essence, this is all a story about death. You know, we're all a little bit more attuned to our own mortality, that all of us are going to die. Death has always been a certainty, but it's not until you face something like we're facing where you do begin to have a sense of, man, that could happen to me. Well, I just want to be clear with you, that will happen to you. Every single person dies. And there's nothing like a worldwide pandemic to give us a sense of perspective and reality today. Now, here's what I want you to understand about Lazarus and his physical death, okay? Lazarus's physical death represents our spiritual death. It's a picture, it's a symbol. And so as we read this story, I want you to think, well, there ultimately Jesus is getting at my own spiritual death in this passage. John chapter 11 begins, as I said, Lazarus is sick. Jesus hears about Lazarus being sick, and then Jesus does something odd. You know, by John chapter 11, Jesus is known as a miracle worker. This is a guy who can heal people who are about to die. And if anybody's going to be healed, surely it's going to be this man who is actually a close friend of Jesus. But as I mentioned, Jesus does something odd. He stays put. He does not go to Lazarus. In fact, he stays for a few more days where he's at, and then he begins the trek to the town where Lazarus has ultimately died. Pick up the story in John chapter 11, verse 14. Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he says this, "Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe.'" Now, Jesus has just done something odd. He's not come to the rescue of his friend. Now, I think we can all agree, he even says something a little odd in our perspective of I'm glad I wasn't there, and in essence, I'm glad that he died so that you may believe. Jesus obviously had a greater purpose with going ahead and letting Lazarus die, and while this story is really about the life of Lazarus and really the death of Lazarus, if you dig a little bit deeper, it's ultimately a story about his sister. Sister's name was Martha. You may remember their other sister, Mary and Martha. You see them interacting with Jesus elsewhere in the Gospels. These were all siblings, close friends with Jesus. And as Jesus gets closer to the town where Lazarus has died, Martha comes out to see Jesus. Pick up the story in verse 21. It says, "Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.'" Think about her perspective. Such devastation. "Lord, if you would have only been here, he wouldn't have died," filled with such faith. "But now, Lord, I know that even whatever you ask from God, he will give it to you." Many of you relate with Martha today. You've had some devastating situations in your life. Maybe it happened years ago. Maybe it's right now within this current climate, and maybe you've lost your job or your income, or maybe you're scared about things at the office or in your family. You're scared about your own health, and you have such devastation yet filled with such hope. Keep on reading in verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." In other words, here's what Martha's doing. She's looking at the end of time and almost like rolling her eyes at Jesus. "Well, Jesus, I know that he's going to rise again at the end of days." Jesus says, "No, that's not what I'm speaking about." Verse 25 leads us into what I believe is the key verse of this entire passage and message. Jesus said to her, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." If you got a pen in your Bible, I would underline those words. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Here's what he's saying. He's saying, "Martha, you want the key to happiness? You need to understand the following. You want to be happy? You must understand this life is temporary. You must understand that we will all die, but you must understand that I came to give you life after death." He was saying ultimately, listen, Martha, you want to be happy, you must realize that even though you will die physically, if you believe in me, then you will live eternally in heaven. You will not die spiritually. You'll be more alive than you've ever been before. I often say this way, for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, death is an upgrade. You leave the brokenness of this world, the hardship of this world, the sinful nature of this world, and you get to go to a perfect place in heaven with Christ. It's like you're going to a place you've always longed for. In other words, even as a follower of Jesus, there are times when you just look at the world and the way things are operating. Maybe you're having these feelings right now. Man, this just is not right. I can't believe that we're having to go through this. I can't believe people are dying from this. And ultimately what that longing inside of you for, let me explain to you what that is. That is a desire for heaven. That is a desire that literally the book of Ecclesiastes says this, that God has placed eternity into your heart, a longing for wholeness, a longing for purity, a longing for things to be made right, and only Jesus can make things right. There are many of you watching today who you're experiencing your first Easter without a loved one. And when you gather for Easter lunch or dinner, your spot at the table, their spot at the table will be empty. And maybe you're grieving today. Man, I just want you to know we grieve with you. And yet the Bible says this, we grieve with hope. Why do we grieve with hope? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if your loved one or your family member or your friend knew Jesus Christ, they are more alive today than they ever were even here on this earth. You know, Easter is all about the resurrection. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and died on a cross for your sin and for my sin. And the Bible records it this way, that 3 days later, God resurrected Jesus from the dead. Literally, he came back from death all the way back to life. Here you have Jesus in John 11 saying, I am the resurrection. This is before Jesus has even died or been raised. And yet he says right here before that moment, I am the resurrection and the life. Maybe you've read this passage before and you've thought to yourself, well, what in the world is Jesus talking about? What does he mean here that he is the resurrection and the life? It essentially means this, only Jesus can bring dead things back to life. Only Jesus can bring dead things back to life. Only he can give eternal life. 2,000 years ago, this whole gospel story happened, and 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating that even in an empty church room like this because Jesus is alive. Only Jesus has shown victory over death by rising from the dead. Only Jesus can take a friend like Lazarus, and even though he dies, he can raise him from the dead. Even Jesus, and only Jesus, can resurrect a dead spiritual person into an alive spiritual person. You know, you think about life. In life, death is the worst thing that we can face. Literally, we are hardwired to avoid death. If you are underwater in a pool and you begin to gasp for air, you naturally want to swim up and get air. We are hardwired not to die, and yet because of sin, all of us face death. Think of the great lengths to which we're going right now, all for the purpose of not dying. Your kids are not going to school. Let's just pause and pray for all of us right now, right? Your kids are not going to school. Many of you are not going to the office. Your business is being affected. Everything is in turmoil. Everything is flipped upside down. Everything is interrupted. All so that we will not die. You see, for the believer, what John chapter 11 means for us is that, man, we face things like this pandemic with straight-up confidence that this life and this virus and nothing can touch us, that even though we may die physically, it is an upgrade for the believer because we will go to be with Christ in heaven. It does show, however, the innate fear, not only the innate sense of a desire for happiness, but the innate sense of fear towards death. And we're going, again, through all sorts of lengths to avoid that thing. Well, John chapter 11 gives us great hope. If you were to ask me, Nick, what is your favorite passage in the Bible? My favorite passage in the Bible is Ephesians chapter 2. In fact, if you were to say, Nick, you got one last message to preach. What are you preaching on? I'm preaching Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10. It is the gospel from A to Z. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church, and he tells these people about their position and their condition before they met Jesus. He doesn't call them sinners, doesn't call them bad people, doesn't call them people who are in need of moral reform. He just simply says it this way, you are spiritually dead. Like you're just dead. And he speaks about the moment that they came to faith in Christ, and he describes it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, but God being rich in mercy. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God today, believer? Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive. Let me just say it to you again. Made us alive. Can I say it in another way? Resurrected us spiritually. Together with Christ by grace, you have been saved. So I want to ask you a question today. Has that ever happened in you? Let me explain what I mean. I'm not asking, have you ever been to church? I'm not asking if you've watched the live stream the past few Sundays. I'm not asking if you tried to live a good moral life or you've done some good deeds at the office. What I'm asking you is this. Have you ever been raised from the dead spiritually? Have you ever had a spiritual resurrection where you turned your life over to Jesus Christ and he changed everything about you? Again, I'm not talking about a belief that there's a vague higher power up there, or even a belief that Jesus once existed. I'm talking about, have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus and thereby been raised from the dead spiritually? If you go back to the passage, Jesus then asked Martha what I believe was the most important question that she will ever be asked in her life. He asked her at the end of verse 26, he says this, "Do you believe this? Martha, do you believe what I am saying?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." You know, the most important question that you will ever answer is that same question. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How would you answer that question today? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And has that resurrection caused a spiritual resurrection to take place in your life? What Jesus is ultimately doing here for Martha is he's saying, listen, you want to experience happiness? You want to experience joy and life and fulfillment and peace? Do you believe in me? That's what he's saying. If you've never believed in Jesus, today is that day. Like right there in your home, you say, well, I'm not in church. How could my life change? It doesn't matter where you are. For many people who are Christians. Some of them got saved at their home. Some got saved at a coffee shop. Some got saved in a church service. But for some of you today, God is longing to save you from your sin. You may wonder, well, what happened in the rest of the story? Let's just pick up where we left off. Skip down to verse 38. It says, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.'" In other words, Martha's like, Jesus, hold up. If we take this stone away from the cave, man, it's going to stink, stink, stink. So do not do that, right? Jesus doesn't listen to her. He says, "When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out.'" It says, "The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth." The good thing was he was fully prepared to go to the grocery store right here in 2020, had already the face covered there. "And Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" It's honestly a funny picture when you just look at it from our perspective 2,000 years ago. Jesus is trying to resurrect the dead brother from the dead, and the sister's like, "No, don't remove the stone because he's going to stink up the place." And then he says, "Lazarus, come out," and it says that he's bound by his feet and by his hands. And so does he like shimmy out like this? Does he hop out of the tomb? We're not told. But Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." Only Jesus can bring about a resurrection. I told you at the beginning of the message that Lazarus' physical death was a symbol of our own spiritual death. Well, let me just flip the tables here. Now Lazarus' resurrection is a symbol of our own spiritual resurrection. It's a picture. It's an illustration for us in this passage. You know, we sing a song here at our church called A Glorious Day, and kind of the main thrust of the message is this, "And I ran out of that grave." Now, if you're a part of our church, you may have sung this song with us, and you always thought this was weird. Like, man, this is such a weird song, and we're singing, "I ran out of that grave." And the worship team, they all seem excited about it. They're jumping around, you know, waving their fist and raising their hands, and they seem so excited. What in the world does this have to do with the Bible? It's John chapter 11. That's what it's about. Can I remind you of these great words of this song, which so apply to our lives? Maybe for some of you who are believers, you'll again see these and be reminded of your own faith in Christ and how he changed you. For some of you who've never trusted Jesus, maybe these words will typify what's going on in your heart right now. The song goes like this: I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. In other words, I was spiritually dead, even though I was physically alive. All my failures I tried to hide. I was so shameful about all the sin in my life. It was my tomb till I met you. And then the chorus goes like this: You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness and into your glorious day. If you say, well, Nick, so we've finished the passage here. What is it that God is asking me to do today? Here's what God's asking you to do. Come out. Like, just insert your name. When Jesus said, come out, Lazarus, just put your own name in there. Come out, Stephen. Come out, Jennifer. Come out, John. Come out, Susan. Come out of death. Come out of sin. Come out of a life lived for yourself and experience the peace and the wonder and the joy and the happiness that is only found in the Lord Jesus. Come out of a life with so much shame and so much regret, a past with so much that you wish you could do over, and into a future designed by God for His glory and your good. Will you come out today and come towards the Lord Jesus? You know, only Jesus can bring about a resurrection. I've said that over and over and over again. Said in another way and in a very simple way, only Jesus can make you happy. And only a spiritual resurrection can fill that hole in your heart. And only Jesus can fill that hole. You say, well, Nick, how in the world do I do this? By coming out of a life of sin and by coming to Jesus. I explain it this way almost every Sunday to our church. You've got to come out. In other words, you've got to repent of a life lived for yourself, of a life that is destined for hell, of a life that is against God, and you just do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, with whoever you want to do it with, and you come out of that kind of life, and you come to Jesus in faith. You're not coming, like I said, to a vague God or a higher power. You're coming to a crucified Christ who has resurrected from the grave, and you are putting your faith and your hope in that. I often say this way, you are putting your hope in what Jesus has done for you, not in what you've done for Jesus. It's a massive difference. Many people think they can come to God and say, God, I've done all these good things. I've come to church a lot. I've given money to charity. I try to be a good person. I raise children with manners. I do all these kind of things. Is that enough? And I just want to let you know, it's not enough. And there's never anything that you could do in your life to make it enough. But if you'll come out, if you will repent of a life of sin, and you will put your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross and in His resurrection, today, you will be saved. There's no catch. The Bible says this is by grace that you've been saved. Something you didn't deserve, God just gives it. Today, if that is the cry of your heart, and today you may be sitting there in your bed or in your living room, your kitchen, somewhere in your home, you're thinking, man, this guy is speaking directly to my heart. It's not me speaking to your heart. It is the Holy Spirit, God Himself speaking to you. And you know what He's saying? Come out and come to me. I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little odd in the setting where you're at, but I just want you to bow your head right now. If you're watching this with other family members or friends, everybody just bow together in the room. And today, if you want to trust Jesus for your salvation, if you're ready to say, you know what, no longer am I going to live for myself, but today I make a tangible decision to trust in Christ for my salvation. This has never happened in your life before. Would you just utter these words to God? If this is the cry of your heart right now, just say this: Dear Jesus, today I come out of a life of sin. I repent of a life lived for myself. And Jesus, today, I turn to you, I come to you, I run to you. And I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you took my sin upon yourself on the cross. And Jesus, I trust in your resurrection today. Just tell him this. Just say, in the best way that I know how, I surrender my life to you. I give you the keys. You're in charge. Ask him to change you. Jesus, change me. Forgive me. Save me. As we close this prayer, would you just thank him? Just say, Jesus, thank you. For those of you who are followers of Christ, thank Jesus for what he's just done in many, many hearts who are watching this. Thank Jesus for what he's done in your own heart at salvation. Lord, thank you for your salvation. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.